14th, 2018 Public Works Committee meeting. We have the alderman, staff, Tony Scott, the Honorable Chris Falkhouse, who's arrived as well. Any citizens' comments? Minutes for correction approval from October. Any comments, questions, corrections? Good to me. Moving on, new business number one, snow operations, Public Works 2018-97.
Unfortunately, we did have snow operations. We had four of them. Luckily, three of them were very light, easy runs with salting, one long one. But I think one, the big thing to notice is we've had some serious mechanical issues with our trucks this year. We're on top of it now. We have all but one back up to speed, and we continue to work.
Cool. It's nice not to have... did we have mailboxes in here? It's always fun to talk about mailboxes.
We ended up with 24 from Blizzard.
Man. Well, and some of those were like repeats on,
on
Request Tracker. Like,
which... Off the top of my head, it seems less than average for like a...
As heavy as that snow.
That first snow was heavy.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was fun that I was home, I heard it coming, and I got bam, photos of mailbox, snow, no mailbox. And it was apparent that he was nowhere close to my mailbox. So that, me being a victim, I was also able to share that.
Also be an advocate, thank you.
Yes.
We had 13 reported over the 2 days.
And how many were actually reimbursed?
Yeah, I would say how many are
actually.
I think we have,
none
we
that
have,
I know of that
we have one that asked for the to have it looked at again by Pete.
Because there's one, I found the link from their Ring doorbell, and it was crushed. Like, it was hit. Like, you could hear the bam of the plow on the mailbox. So I think I might have sent it.
Yeah.
Hello, sir.
I remember seeing that. I don't remember verifying that it was.
Yeah, if they never reported it, they never reported it. Okay. But it was a blatant. It was pablam.
Okay.
So I think that was a good hit.
Okay.
Usually the drivers know when they hit them and are like, I got that one. That's ours.
Dibs.
Yeah.
Cool.
They take responsibility.
All right. That was informational. If you guys are cool with it, I wanted to move new business number five, the Cannonball Trail analysis, up so that Chairman Greider can chime in. We should have on the minutes that it came in at 6:01:45. It was a little bit late.
I was talking to the sheriff.
Sure. Sure you were. So anybody have any problem with that?
No.
All right, so new business number five, tracking number PW2018-101, the Cannonball Trail safety analysis.
Brad's got a nice memo in the packet. Talks about some options. Some of which are going to be a little bit more expensive than others. And then there is a recommendation in there for something that can be done. I did ask Brad to prepare just some ballpark cost estimates for some of these so we have a relative idea of how expensive they are. So we can get into that, Brad, if you'd like.
Yeah, so beyond the what's noted in the memo, we can certainly get into whatever discussion is appropriate. From the city side, we did request accident information from...
Do you have a copy of the memo?
We can probably help there.
I have one, Aaron. Okay. So there were seven crashes that were recorded in the past 5 years. The details of those crashes are noted in the memo. We outlined a handful of possible options for potential improvements. Some of them include rumble strips added on to the shoulders. Some other items include working to clear out the clear zone, if you will, to like move the power poles back. That may prove to be a little bit of difficult because of the right-of-way constraints and what have you, and of course working with ComEd. There's widening the shoulders. There's adding some additional signage, adding friction, of course, to the pavement, to help on the curve as far as friction goes. Mm-hmm. Changing the super elevation, of course, realigning the curve and what have you. It's kind of all going from the least cost to the more expensive side of things. So depending on where, city wants to go or what have you, we did recommend if you want to go more lower cost route, to put in some paved shoulders, possibly some rumble strips with some additional signage. The last exhibit that is also good to look at is really the city only has a small part of jurisdiction over the roadway currently. So there's some areas that are outside city limits. Technically, they would be, you know, in township or what have you. So there would have to be some coordination, of course, if there was an election to do anything moving forward. So very high level overview, and you know, certainly get into any items that we want to here.
Were most of the crashes to the north side of the curve? If you go back.
Yeah, that I don't have an answer to, but I can certainly
it
answer.
It makes
that.
Sense that that's probably where they
probably
go off.
Yeah. Yeah, there was only one associated with, if I recall, icy conditions, if you will.
One was wet pavement.
Yeah, one was wet.
Yeah, when I shared this packet with my neighbors, everyone couldn't believe that it was only seven. Maybe they weren't reported. Maybe it was county.
I think it's not reported. Yeah. I think you see them go off the road. They go.
Because the few that I've been involved in are like somebody coming to the south or coming from 47 going towards 34.
Okay.
And I've actually been right in front of the horse farm right there, and a kid in a two-door Toyota came around the corner and then just kept spinning and was about that far from the front of my car, hit one of the pine trees, got out of the car, said, I'm stupid, and then drove away. But it was still, had anybody been, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. The reason why I wanted Chairman Greider to be here, number one, is so that we're both kind of aware of the issue. Two, I was talking to Rich when they were tabulating all of the accident data, saying, you know, what's a cop going to do? Because when the cops are sitting there in the church parking lot, whether they're doing paperwork or watching speeders, most people who don't want to die aren't speeding anyway. So I don't think speeding is the issue. It's that people can't handle the turn. And it's kind of a funky turn, especially if you're not from the area and you don't drive that every day. Also, because it's freshly paved, it's fun to speed on. So it's difficult to have a... but also, speeding isn't necessarily even going the speed limit.
Also, road construction probably plays into...
These people are trying to avoid that. So after talking to the chief, he reached out to the sheriff's office and they brought one of those speed, which has worked wonders. It's brilliant. But what most people don't realize is that it says 45, then it has the recommendation of 25, but then they kind of forget, they see the speed limit thing, and then they take the corner. So when I sent this out to my neighbors, because, you know, armchair aldermen are the best aldermen, I got a bunch of recommendations, and they all started with signs, rumble strips, and then either relocating or adding another one of those 25-mile-an-hour recommended signs, whether it's a yellow blinky or what. But if people go 25, there's no issue. So I didn't want to go, let's petition the county to re-engineer the entire roadway. It just seems too complicated, and we haven't had that many issues.
Well, and the county wouldn't have anything to do with that side of the road anyway.
Township.
Yeah,
Bristol Township.
Understanding that, you know, you got everything, you know, east of 47, but
so
it's still...
So there could be a line of...
But
we can give you the site, too.
Yeah,
well, that's what I thought you were going to ask.
We have a bridge on Traceline Road that we wanted to give you a spot.
We'll trade you the Old Man Road Bridge for this.
I'll ask my mom. Yeah. So in discussing this with a bunch of neighbors, the extra shoulder, so that if somebody is avoiding dying, they can go onto the shoulder a little bit. Because the thing that I keep asking Eric about is
fill the gravel
right after the kennel when you're coming south.
Yeah.
That's where people are going off. And the corrective action, they get their tire into that, and then they whip. So you'll always see tire tracks in the grass. They didn't hit anybody, so there was no accident data.
Right, they don't stop. They just keep going.
Right. Yeah. So
agreed.
If there's a, if we can kind of combine a few of those recommendations, I think the shoulder, the rumble, and then either adding or relocating some of those signs, I think would kind of at least take care of the problem in the interim. And then when we get to repaving, which would be in 5 years?
Probably more, 10.
Okay, so when we get to repaving in 10 years, we have a note that maybe we look at all of our accidents. Either realignment or the grittier stuff, the MT, whatever it's called.
Yeah, the higher friction pavement, yes.
But do we have, I know signs are $350 to $500 bucks a pop, but what does the shoulder cost, and is that something we can perform ourselves?
I think the shoulder is something we can perform, but we may want to just include it if our road program is close to get a a little bit bigger pavement area, but that won't be till spring.
Right, right. Yeah, like, and this is something where it's been going on long enough, and I think because the road construction might be slowed down a little bit by the time that we can physically get around to doing anything, I think making the Band-Aid fixes will have a greater impact long term. Not that we're going to have this type of, you know, speeder speeding down, but the comment that I keep hearing from my neighbors is that there are people that drive the road every day, and it just happened. So if anything we can do to slow them down, I don't think the guardrail thing is a good idea.
No.
Because it's only going
to
be on
them to the other side of the road.
And the guardrail would be on the side where there's two driveways. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. With the cause I drove out there earlier today, and I can't recall. Are there a couple of homes that are right along there, too? And, you know, you always run into the thing that they want their yard littered with signs, but it's probably better than having a car, you know, crashing in at 2 in the morning or as well. But I like a lot of your ideas. We talk about this at the county all the time, you know, in our... Most of our roads are high speed, so we're trying to slow them down from, you know, 70 to actually 55 or so. So we've lowered the speed limit to 45 in a couple areas, and then they go 65. You know, when they're out there, they're just going faster. So here, I hear you talking about the 25, which will be good for a lot of the regular law-abiding citizens. And then the others are going to go 35 now, so maybe that will help slow down a little bit. And then the ice is always going to be a problem on a corner like that, I think. But a lot of the ideas that you have here, you know, they'll be attention grabbing, and they don't cost a ton, I don't think. Rumble strips and, you know, a couple of signs and things like that. And obviously the sheriff, that's what I was talking to about this, and he has the updated numbers. I don't know if you've probably seen them for the traffic counts out there. He wasn't in a spot where he could record right then, but he said that was kind of interesting to see as well, and he suggested that it's probably higher. Because of all the road construction, to cut through, and it makes sense, you know, that it is. It's nicely paved, and there's a lot of construction. So, you know, all good ideas. The realignment, I'm kind of curious how you would realign that, because you'd have to go through some of these yards.
Correct. You'd have to purchase property, and that's a major ordeal.
Just kind of angle it? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, you'd have to increase the radius of the curve, basically. So, yeah, you would be taking right-of-way from several property owners and reconstructing the roadway. So that's a pretty significant project.
And probably something... Forest Preserve is there, too. I didn't realize.
Yeah, just that little piece.
Yeah.
So for the 3-foot widening, do we have to buy any easements for that, or do we have that?
We should be able to fit that on the right. The curve.
Yeah, 30 feet.
Yep. Yeah, so ballpark, I think we're probably looking between $40,000 and $60,000, roughly. But that's something we can tighten up on and present a harder number at January meeting, if that's acceptable with everybody.
And then one of the main reasons that I wanted you to be here is that we're using your speed limit sign right now.
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah.
So if there's a way that we can kind of make sure that we can use that until we can get out there and physically do something... I'm just worried that, you know, we've only had 4 snow incidents, but if we get another big one and there's still the construction that they're going to be contending with, like I told you that it's a double-edged sword, because, yes, I'm worried about public safety, but this also, they literally chop off our power. So I was without power on a Saturday for 2.5 hours because somebody literally chopped the pole down. So while, yes, there is a safety issue, we're not talking about a very large inconvenience for 2 entire neighborhoods. Did your power go out that
way? Yeah,
so the whole, and then Home Depot was out, Target was out. So now we're looking at, you know, sales tax generating businesses that might have a loss of inventory. You know, they probably have generators, not that big of a deal, but it was like 4 in 3 days that we had, and it was like, what are we going to do about it? Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for, you know, discussing it and looking into it. So I would like, if it's cool with you, that might not be the professional term, but if we can just keep that sign shining. If we can just keep that sign shining for a couple more months. Until we can physically build something, at least we have that Band-Aid to carry us through to the next
There's some talk about us buying some, right?
Yeah, it was one of our goals, so I would anticipate actually that maybe even yet this month we'll be ordering them. So we've been vetting them, getting the police to buy into the actual model unit, getting the features that they want. So it's just a matter of, one, finding the money in the budget, because they are probably $20,000. We're going to buy like 5 or 6 of them. They're like two.
But
like,
so I was going to say not individual. The
no,
total,
okay. No,
they're like three. I was going to say
like
that's
$3,000 to $4,000 each.
Yeah, we want to get something.
Yeah, we know that there's going to be a lot of desire to use them in all the neighborhoods, and so we want to buy enough that we can spread them out, move them around.
Also, if one works and one doesn't,
they
also be on, you know, calibration and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yep. The one thing I did notice is that getting a ride home from here a couple weeks ago, they have one that IDOT put on off of Pleasure Court.
Yeah.
Which I'd never seen IDOT do that.
They did that for like 3 or 4 days because they knew that that was going to be a cut through.
The high school farm was closed.
Game farm was closed.
Okay. So now the game farm's open, that thing's gone?
I believe it's gone.
Okay. It is.
But is that something, granted, you know, we only have the two super large ones, but when they start working on 71, is that something where we can kind of ask that IDOT help us kind of pre-evaluate those speed zones and make sure that they are going to cover this? Because I think this is one where it's a blatant out for anybody traveling east or west. Or mainly traveling east. So maybe that's something that when 71 pops up and they're actually digging that thing out. Because I know when they were doing the Oswego expansion, there's no alternative other than going down Douglas and cutting through, which is all residential. Mm-hmm. And there's really no opportunity to kind of accelerate it in that area. But we're talking about 71. In our direction, there's a lot more room for speeders. So just if we can kind of keep that on our radar, no pun intended, and make sure that we don't have to come out of pocket for speed deterrent systems when it's happening because of a state-run project.
Sure.
One other question about, so the part between the two red boxes, that's township?
Correct.
So do you have to do anything there to widen it with them?
We would talk ask them? Permission. We would talk to them. It seems they'd like to participate.
What you want
to
do.
Yeah. There was nothing formal in it. We paved it. We basically just told them, hey, we're going to do this, and they said, have at it.
Okay.
Plows that area?
We don't lift the plows. We plow on either side of it, so we just plow in. Being Bristol Township, it does the subdivisions right there to the to the east.
Don't they have a big time paving machine, right?
Not the township.
Someone told me they had their own, right, like do like Legion Road and places like that. They have a big machine, that's why I was wondering.
Not Bristol Township.
Okay.
I don't even think Kendall does either a paver.
Maybe. Okay.
So, Chairman Brad, is that cool with you?
Sounds good, yeah. I'll talk to the sheriff about the sign. He said he'd taken it down and put it back up, but he moved it somewhere else, and then he brought it back over there recently, it sounded like. So I don't think that'll be a problem, but I'll just talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, we might end up getting some relatively soon, but just if we can make sure that that's up.
Yeah.
Especially over the holiday weekend.
That'd be helpful, for sure.
No more damage over there. Beautiful. And so then we'll come back with more actual numbers and have a plan for
January.
Yep. Thanks for inviting me out.
Cool. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it. All right, back to the fun stuff. New business number 2, Water Department Reports, Public Works 2018-98.
Nothing out of the ordinary on these, just the normal routine. These do have to go to City Council for approval, just as an IEPA regulation.
Have you come?
I'm good.
Okay, Andy.
8th, is that consent agenda?
Yep. Alright, new business number 3, Public Works 2018-99, radio purchase RFP update.
We have an update. We
have
the open bids today. And as you can see, we're slightly higher than we had predicted, but there's also Carrie and I are going to go through them and fine-tooth comb to make sure that we got what we had asked for. And there was also a third option proposed by one of the companies, which was basically it's almost like a rental. Mm-hmm. We pay a monthly fee to use the radios, and after the term, we can either turn them in or go for another term. So
what was that price-wise? I didn't get a chance to look at it.
Very high.
Okay.
But
relative to the annual?
Yes, relative to the annual, it was very high, but it was also, after the 5th year, it's like a 40% decrease if you resign.
Oh.
So over the 10 years, we just have to do a little math to see.
I'm assuming if you break it or something during the term, you get a replacement.
Replacement,
so, okay.
Yeah.
Maintenance was also included.
Yeah, maintenance was included, and they actually monitor it. They actually know what's wrong before.
And we don't own outdated equipment anymore?
We will not own outdated equipment.
So hosted software, lease agreements.
There is some hosted software here, though, on our server. They would have to work with our IT. That's how they would monitor it. It would be at PW. But, yes, we get up, and you can choose to either take the discount or you can have upgraded, and we're just re-up for another five-year term.
So we'll take a look at that January 8th city council meeting and have a formal.
That's probably one of the main reasons we didn't bring anything super forward today. Cool.
Plus, a Beep LLC sounds awesome. But when you look at contracts and equipment, like I learned a long time ago that my car is not an investment, it's an expense. So I don't worry about resale value, I worry about resale value back to the dealer, but I'm basically leasing my vehicle because I'm not worried about what it's worth, I'm worried about getting to work every day.
That's why I just leased this last vehicle.
Yeah, so it's whatever you can do to not have to pay for replacements, and you just it's a monthly expense, and then you know it's always going to work, it's always going to be there, and if you need more, you need less, you adjust your contract. So I like things like that, but that's because, you know...
That was very intriguing to us as well.
You know, I'm one of those post-millennials. I throw everything away.
Refresh my memory. How much was the budget amendment that we did compared to these numbers?
23 or 25.
I was going to say 25.
So we'd have to do another one then, right? If you were going to go with these numbers.
Possibly. We'll run it by Rob and see if you know, some things have changed since we've done the budget amendment that can eat the overage. And we'll make a recommendation accordingly.
Cool. Next. New business number 4, Public Works 2018-100, Stormwater Basin Inspections.
Yes, staff thought it would be appropriate to update the committee on where we're at with the inspections. If you recall, the council directed us to move forward with the inspections about a year or so ago. So we had went out and performed those in the April and May timeframe. We prepared reports and issued those out to the various basin owners. Eventually got those out in August. We did kind of the northwest quadrant of the city in 2018. So after we had sent those letters out, several of the basin owners had reached out to us. We had meetings, coordinated some activities, clarified expectations, and some of them moved forward with initiatives to clean things up and what have you. There were a handful that we weren't able to get a hold of, so we sent out follow-up letters in November. And several more now have reached out to us, and we've been able to make contact and, have had pretty good success. So generally all the basin owners or the folks are understanding and cooperative and have provided, thoughts on moving forward and maintaining the basins. So basically, as we move forward, we'll continue to kind of work with Public Works and with community development. If there's an issue, we'll address that and have community development go out and, issue fines if they have to, but we haven't hit that level yet. And then 2019, we're gearing up for that, so we're looking at the southwest quadrant of the city to move forward. So we'll try to target those inspections maybe a little bit earlier than what we did last year. We're trying to hit those in maybe March or April would be the plan. And, again, just felt it was time to update everybody and let everybody know where things are at and that we're continuing to monitor and reach out and have meetings with folks.
Just two little things. For accuracy, sunflower ponds should be showed as naturalization, right? Didn't we naturalize those three?
Yeah, you're probably correct. And as we go through and inspect the ponds, we update and correct. There's been on the pond notations. We're using the old GIS information.
Okay.
So we've noticed several inconsistencies. So as we go through, we'll update. So yes, if that's shown as incorrectly, we'll correct that as we move forward.
Those are actually a combination. They're actually open water. That have been edge has been. It's not like something that are actually dry bottom naturalized.
Yeah.
Or we have the ones that are bluegrass dry bottoms.
Yeah.
So.
And then what about the ponds in Raintree? Because I know it goes off to the right.
This is the next quadrant.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. All right.
Because there's one on here for White Oak that's not showing up, so I'm sure that as you guys are going through, you'll double check
Yes.
They're all okay. there.
Yes.
So you're providing the the basin owner with that inspection report?
Correct.
And that's publicly available?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was contacted by one guy who used to be on an HOA board, just recently left, and then one landscape company, trying to find a an easier way to say, hey, you're going to be responsible for all this maintenance. Just because of the high rate of turnover on the HOA board,
sure.
a lot of these people are going, hey, Fizz, we didn't do it last year. Sure. And when right. your budget, you only have you know precedent that lasts a year, and then people move on because it's a horrible job. I just thought it was a good conversation to have, so I'm glad that we're doing this. But the fact that all of these are available on the website, I think it makes people more comfortable when they see that other neighborhoods are doing the same thing. And that
yes,
was like,
correct.
And then, but then also this has value because you can take this and you know how big your pond is and you can give this out to different landscape companies to get those bids if that's what you're managing.
Yes.
And I think that's where the fear was, oh, it's going to be all this money, we got to do it every year. And it's like, no. So right. if you're conveying to the pond owner, whoever that might be, what the expectations are, and this is extremely easy to kind of follow. So like, and then the observations being written out, I think you've communicated all of the points that I was confused about.
Okay, good.
Because what I didn't want to have happen is for number one, people to get taken advantage of,
right.
but more importantly, people not to have, no matter how quickly your HOA board has turnover, you need to have this budgeted because it's a very large expense if you don't take care of it. I know that Whispering Meadows is in a weird situation because
right.
the pond was never completed correct, or it wasn't built right. So,
correct.
I mean, that's one where there's going to have to be some input from the city as far as what we do to repair it. Because, I mean, if the HOA fixes it themselves, not that we have a developer or anything, but, I mean, if the HOA fixes it themselves, that's going to be detrimental to our annual budget. So, cool.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest advantages is now more awareness. I think there were several cases where folks just weren't maintaining, so now they know, now they have to budget. Mm-hmm. So at least the approach that we've been taking is just provide a schedule of maintenance. You know, we're not, having hard deadlines or what have you. We're not suggesting that unless you folks suggest otherwise. But, just have a schedule, have an understanding. Here's the critical items. Just address those items in a timely manner.
Well, and it's also if you can explain what happens when you don't maintain a pond.
Right.
There's a simple 6 or 7 answer list right there of just things that you don't want.
Yeah.
Number one being there's going to be critters living in your stuff. So it's you can legitimize why you maintain something.
Yes.
And it's not just for appearance's sake. It's not just for keeping the animals out. There's a bunch of different reasons. Also, it impacts our infrastructure when somebody is improperly maintaining their pond.
Right.
So if we can spell that out and not be, damn the man type, oh, the city's screwing me again. As long as we can avoid doing that, I think that's what our job is. So
yeah, we need to make sure these things are cleared out, they're functioning the way they're supposed to. Some of these being overgrown in the conditions they are, flooding is more likely to happen because
right.
they're likely to clog up the drains. We don't want that. We want to protect the residents, and this is how we do it. I mean, technically we have easement rights to maintain it and get in there if we want. We don't want to.
Right.
That would cause a lot of havoc if we started going into
all
these and dealing with them ourselves.
Right. And I think in the few experiences we've had in the last 6 years where, hey, we're going to go in to do your ponds, how much is going to increase your SSA?
It doesn't go over well,
but if it's communicated, hey, this is what the expectation is, and again, the website is huge in my opinion because now you have a publicly declared, this is what you're responsible for, but then you can also go, oh, well, what's Whispering Meadows doing? What's Prairie Meadows doing? If we can have that back and forth, and it's something that you can click on a map and look at these things, and we don't make it super difficult where you have to have parcel numbers and stuff like that. Like, make it super easy to at least access the information. If everybody has access to every other pond's report, we're going to be better off. And I think that we'll have a lot less confusion, a year and a half, 2 years from now when there's a log of every pond's inspection on the website. And you can go back until, 2018 and see all of the things that you've done to further convey that these are the expectations of maintaining a pond, but then also having examples of what happens if you don't have an HOA that maintains it, this is what could happen. So, there's plenty of newspaper articles and Facebook posts about that, but I think this is a really good start. Do you have anything? That was just informational, yeah?
Yes.
All right. 2018-102 East Alley in Van Emmon.
Pictures.
same, right?
Same.
One zoomed in.
Two zoomed
in. One's just zoomed in closer, so because the just of that right there at the entrance. I was able to make contact with Mike Mann, and he says they are open to ideas to using that east side of the Farm Bureau. So I thought this would be, you know, just kind of an idea time.
So the issue is cars stacking on the east leg of the intersection. So they're blocking that west alley, or the east alley, rather,
east alley.
Entrance. And so then when cars turn onto East Hydraulic, and then they want to turn left across Benjamin. Traffic, or Benjamin, thank you, 0 for 2. they then stack back towards 47, which creates an issue there. So the conversation has been, they've got water main through there, it's become kind of a pedestrian area, so maybe we could turn that into either a garbage enclosure, deck area, close off the vehicular entrance, maybe improve traffic flow there, and, you know.
We did have our hydrant hit there as well this fall.
Oh, okay.
Where's that at?
Is it right there? On the
no, right on the red. You'll see the red dot on the. See the little red dot?
I never even noticed.
That's a new red dot now.
So, I mean, to the extent that Imperial Investments is okay with us using their. If they end up closing on the Farm Bureau property, because they haven't done so yet, or would be okay to route traffic through the FS property, which is the gravel lot up there. To me, it seems like a no-brainer to at least shut that off, because then you improve traffic flow and you give, you know, the bars down there at least one more pedestrian pathway. Mm-hmm. And so we can kind of mock that up cost-wise and design-wise at that point. But without a second entrance there, I don't think that we'd want to rely on a single wooden crossing on East Hydraulic New Railroad tracks.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so it would be exit only behind law office?
It would be nothing.
Nothing. We're thinking about closing it off in full. And then, you know, eventually, from a streetscape perspective, you'd either, you know, raise it up so that it's one level and make it like a pedestrian seating area or like a little bit of a mall, or you'd turn that into where the garbage enclosure goes.
And then the garbage truck would come from east side of...
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Or hydraulic.
Yeah. In the past, Imperial Investments has allowed us to use, you know, their FS property for special events as long as we name them as additional insured. Mm-hmm. To me, it wouldn't be unreasonable for us to either work out something in a TIF agreement or a long-term lease so that we knew that we had access to it and then end up paying whatever the market rate of that cost ends up being one way or another. So, but I think that that's a couple steps removed from this issue. That's kind of what we were thinking.
Yeah, that when Jackie brought it up, that place is a jam. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. My daughter does tumbling at YPAC, and it's the fight of the people coming out and the people going in at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then the scariest thing is when you're right here,
yep.
And there's a car speeding through to get the yellow to go left on here,
you
and
can't
there's a car
see it
stopped.
Backing up.
Yeah. Right. You can't see him until you get past the
right.
Bank.
Mm-hmm. It's tight.
And I've seen two where the car's up on. Like, it almost thought it was
well,
like two
and
wheels.
The one gentleman that called me, he actually turned and ended up with his rear end of his car. Was still on 47. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, what if a truck's coming down?
Yeah,
it can't stop.
Down, mm-hmm. stop.
And he says, until he turned, he didn't realize it was stacking yeah. up. You can't see it. It's
it really makes it hard with the no right turn on the 47 from Van Hemmen. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're stuck for the full 90 mm-hmm. seconds.
Yeah, and it just, it's...
It stacks up.
The vision, you know, I mean, there's just too much black in that whole intersection.
Yeah,
so.
And the last time I was
that's
there...
That's the one that got me like, wow.
It's like 1:30 in the morning, and there's 50 people outside... talking, and the people that are coming off of 47 just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we can do to keep traffic from going down that alley, that's... Yeah, if we can sketch up what our options are, you know, in a perfect world with Imperial owning the property, and then what's our alternative if we can't?
Mm-hmm.
And then also that black fence that we got up there,
mm-hmm.
we wiggled that?
Yep, we have to stabilize
okay.
it.
It wiggles.
Wiggles less than the plywood did.
Only barely. Cool, yeah, I'd love to see an improvement there. Especially because the like YPAC super busy, Capitano's was busy the other day, and like again, law office is going to be, you know, Thursday through Saturday, and it's until 2 in the morning. So that's a bad accident waiting to happen.
Nope. Yes.
Do you guys have any other input on that, or should we?
No, I just, this is what we really have to think about long term because of the alley access on to the railroad. If we ever do anything there, you know, we're talking about our south access. We would close that and possibly relocate it. If we don't control it fully, if we just have an easement to it, you know, who knows what's going to happen with redevelopment on that one. I don't want to lose control. Right. I know we need to deal with it, but I don't want to see us having a potential one-way in. So as this, if there's development, we need to look for control over a long-term access to this.
Platted cross-access area.
Absolutely. If worse is, could it be, I guess I would hard to just make that, like you said, an exit out.
Exit only.
Exit only, but...
I'd still rather it just be closed.
I think it'd be better.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's been two-way for so long that people...
Yeah.
We tried to do that with the West Alley. And
Mrs. Grover tells me about it.
Yeah, so it'd be something to put a nice, you know, 12-inch curb there to keep you from driving in. But as long as we're not compromising their, you know, service access for Capitano's or the other places for trucks, because they'd obviously have to loop around and back in. You know, we do know they get a couple service deliveries, so we don't want to create any hardships. We want to make sure it all works still for them.
Correct. We would really have to work with the turning radius to make sure the delivery vehicles can get in on the garbage trucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you put that garbage over there and make a little alcove, and then that's their only area to receive deliveries, especially for those two other businesses, that could get pretty tight.
Yeah.
Because I always just assume the deliveries always come at the worst time. So the parking lot's totally full.
Right. It's usually Friday mornings down there.
Yeah.
You get deliveries at the same time your trash is being picked up. Fortunately, first thing Friday morning, you're probably not having kids at the YPAC.
Right. But a beer delivery and the garbage truck both vying for the same alley.
Yes, it's going to create a little headache.
You just have to make the turning radius is big enough and give them your own space. And I saw that when we had a water main break here a couple weeks ago, right down by Rowdy's back door, the beer delivery truck parked on hydraulic and he just had his two-wheel cart and wheeled it out of there. So they're used to that.
And I've seen them into the law office. They'll park in front of the Farm Bureau where there's no cars there.
Right.
And then just wheel it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then a couple of them are a little bit, you know, more gutsy. They'll drive onto the sidewalk right in front of the law office. Which is terrifying, especially when you're not paying attention.
See a white van on the sidewalk. There.
Yeah, they just white van park it right there and leave it.
It's a box truck. What are you doing?
Yeah,
you're going to kill someone. That's what we want to avoid. Cool. All right, I'm excited to see what we come up with. And by we, I mean you.
Future meeting?
Yeah, we'll put it on as a placeholder. Next meeting, and then whatever we've got, we'll bring to everybody there.
Thanks for looking at that. That one scared me. Was elderly gentleman. He's like, I couldn't go anywhere. And that was like the picture was there. Was a truck not going to stop and hit me in the rear end.
For clarification, the radio purchase, do we want to keep moving that forward to the 8th?
It'll be on the January 8th City Council meeting. I would suggest regular report.
Discussion.
You haven't seen the recommendation yet, obviously.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make sure. That's what I had written down.
And if for some reason we need more discussion, you can always table it back to Public Works next week.
Okay. And then just keep an eye on what other things you could lease like that. Just have a service agreement. Because wouldn't that be awesome if we could deal with cop cars? Yeah, perfect world scenario. Any old business? Any additional business? I have one quickie. The Fox Hill Leaf fiasco. We're never going to do that again. Right?
We didn't really have a choice.
Yeah. And then if we don't have choices, we just do nothing, which I think would be a lot better. In the conversations that I've had with the residents who did have their yards butchered, we're going back in the spring to reseed or whatever.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And that'll all. Can we, after you do that, come back and document or let us know who you fixed.
Yep. And we have a list. Cool. I have a list of what you sent me and what was put in a request tracker that's on our sod damage.
Cool. Because I encourage people to use the request
trying
tracker.
To get that.
Go
it's much
that.
Easier to just plug it in that way because then you guys can track it.
Absolutely.
Check it off.
We
it's,
like it. It gives
it's easier
us a,
than us emailing.
It gives us an address. It gives us a contact information.
Yeah, we've been trying to push that as much as we can because I know there's a lot of frustrated residents.
Yep. Yeah. And then the only... so if something like that ever happens again, and this is like me hitting up Bart, but I got a lady who cleaned up after us, and then there was a bunch of leaves in her street. She cleaned it up, swept it up, put it in a bag, and it was the day after our bag pickups had ceased. So it's like, as long as we have an alternative for where we can store one or two or three or a dozen bags of leaves,
we did.
Should. Okay. So as long as we have a place to put stuff and we don't leave people in the lurch,
we did.
Okay, cool. That's what I just want to make sure that we're not, you know, like in the medical profession, it's do no harm. It's kind of like, oh, God.
As little harm as possible.
Yes, it's as little damage as possible. Some is inevitable, but as long as we're not ripping up the grass and going, "Well, you clean it up," I'm okay with that.
We are definitely fixing it.
Cool. As long as we're as long as we talked about it, I'm happy with it.
We did.
Cool. Any other? Merry Christmas. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.